The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
My good afternoon. Thanks for joining Manx Radio this Monday afternoon. You want to get in touch, all you need to do is text or WhatsApp 166177, email studio at manxradio.com. Easy as that. Whatever it is. I've been away for a week, so I don't know. You can bring me up to speed with everything that's happening on the Isle of Man. The budget's on the way. The doctors aren't happy. The Manx NFU is calling for greater political focus on the Isle of Man's ability to trade livestock after a change in rules affected Manx farmers. Now, until recently, cattle from the Isle of Man and the UK shared the same BSE status and were processed in the same way. Last year, the UK applied to change its status without including the Isle of Man. Nice of them to do that, isn't it? Meaning some UK abattoirs will no longer process Manx animals. So we've been left behind by this. If you're in the trade, if you're in the industry, you'll know all about this. You just wonder how this has come to happen, why we weren't represented, and who should have been representing us, who should have been watching the various updates and the various legislation. Sarah Comish from the Manx NFU and Ian Parsons on what's happening now.
It has to be acknowledged that an element of the responsibility also lies with Westminster. As we are a Crown dependency, Westminster has that responsibility to represent us. But obviously we're not part of those negotiations, and you know, I'm sure there is dialogue between the department and Westminster, but we probably still haven't had a full explanation of how this has happened. But it's, I suppose we are where we are, and it's we've just got to look at how we can look forward to get our status recovered back to the same as, so we're on the same trade level as the UK. But I think best case scenario, we're looking at a minimum of 2 years for that.
What does that actually mean? I mean, in terms of Manx livestock production?
It's straight away, I would say, from my point of view, it's devalued my livestock by the figures we've had in so far by more than, or towards 30% of the cattle. Obviously, it doesn't affect sheep. This is on cattle. It's not affected trade on the Isle of Man, but it has to be acknowledged that nowhere near all the cattle are traded on the Isle of Man. There's a significant number go off.
This is going to be a huge problem going forwards. It's going to be one of those issues that we're going to have to put quite a bit of focus on. We have raised it quite a few times, some of the challenges that the union could see coming on the horizon. Without being specific, there were post-Brexit, there have been some issues arising, and I think that a political focus on our ability to trade is going to be really important.
Well, how did we get left in this position? I just wonder if you can shed any light on this. While the UK did notify the Isle of Man about the application, Environment, Food and Agriculture Minister says her department wasn't told that the change would affect how UK meat is processed. Claire Barber, MHK, says she wants to see better communication between the island and the UK.
We've also written to the Secretary of State in the UK to make it very clear that this is a, you know, far from ideal situation, and also to make it, you know, make them aware that this is two situations now, the BSE and also with the Blue Tongue, where we had struggled to get interaction from the UK, which has then detrimentally affected us, and it's not without us trying. So there's clearly an issue around communication.
Well, that's Claire Barber, and well, anything else on your mind? But I mean, food and agriculture is always important to the Isle of Man, purely because if it goes, we don't get it back. You know, and it's fairly well noted, the fact that the money, if you like, in terms of wages, is not in agriculture. We've got to the bottom of this. Agriculture, farming, is a way of life. Money can be made, but lots of people don't make a lot of money. But they do it because they like it. And also, it's important to the Isle of Man. The agricultural industry is in charge of husbandry, looks after how the Isle of Man looks. So we have to make sure that that industry is cared for. This is an example of the fact that we've been left behind where this is. And it will be nice to know who's left whom behind. Let's get to the phones now. David's with us now. Hi, David.
Hi, Andy. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear. Have you got a new phone?
No, I haven't. I used my mobile last week to try and confuse Manx Radio.
Okay.
That didn't work either. Listen, the way I'm looking at this is, the simple thing is, if the minister's blaming the UK government, who's looking after our interests in the UK now? Is it? It used to be a guy that now joined the Reform Party. He was a Conservative, and I can't remember his name. But anyway, is it Lammy that's looking after our interests?
It changes, doesn't it? I think it is David Lammy, yes.
Yeah. So the simple thing is, the excuse for the politicians, it's not an excuse for the politicians here. Why don't we do a repeat thing all the time? Every other week we send another email and say, please could you respond? It's like when you owed money, don't you? The banks don't just let you go for months and years on end. They just repeatedly give you letters and letters and letters, then record them. You know, I just can't understand who's looking after our interests with England into the UK.
And surely somebody knew that the UK was going to change its status regarding this. And if they're responsible or they're there to communicate with the Isle of Man, somebody, they've not got that much on their plate, surely.
You're right. And I remember being in DEFA at one time when Gorney was the minister. And I remember getting a subscription out for Farmers Weekly. I didn't know anything about farming at all, but I certainly learned over a few months or a year after being in a department. And you were a member of a department then. You asked questions, didn't you? Why are we doing this? What are we doing that for? And the other thing, Andy, to bring you up to speed is, the other issue we've got now, I'm not blaming the steam packet, is, why aren't they looking after our interests if they're going to charge us extra money going into a port, but not into Scotland?
Well, this is Ed Miliband, isn't it? Ed Miliband with his ferry tax. At the moment, I think that the government here is looking at this. But apparently the Scottish ferries aren't going to have to pay. They've got some sort of exemption for that. But it will be interesting to see, because it's going to be a fairly hefty amount.
Well, I would say so too. But who's the person in charge now at our end, communicating with their end over there, and even into sending letters to Miliband and saying to him, by the way, we're a crown dependency. You're supposed to look, or the king's supposed to look after our interests here. You're causing us difficulty. And we're a holiday destination, whether you like it or not. You know, these things should be boxed off straight away. And I've just got to give a bonus to the previous Treasury Minister. Oh, by the way, Onken met Tim Krugel, by the way, too.
Oh, right.
What a nice minister. I can't tell you too much because it was in private, but what a nice minister he is, you know, compared to the previous one.
Okay.
And he will get a Christmas card from me. I promised him that, because I know the guy anyway. But I was just going to say that regarding these issues now, who's holding up our end and saying, you know, this shouldn't happen? Why are you doing this? And what's this for? You know, and why is Scotland being treated differently than the Isle of Man?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember that what was his name? I think he was an MP somewhere in Essex who was our contact, who was looking at...
He had a bulldog in it as one of his...
That's right. I'm trying to remember his name. There's two things, really. There's an MP that kind of keeps an eye out for us within the House of Commons. And as you say, there's somebody... It used to be the Lord Chancellor. It used to be Lord Falcon, Charlie Falconer at one time. I think it may be David Lammy now, who's responsible for the Isle of Man. All right, we'll see.
But does he expect us, as people that live on the Isle of Man, to write to him? I don't mind writing to some of these politicians in the UK and saying to them, how are you treating the Isle of Man? But do we ever invite people over anymore?
Well, they used to come over at Tynwald Day, didn't they?
Yeah.
Rosendale, that was his name. Andrew Rosendale was the Tory MP who...
he's now a Reform member.
Is he Reform? I see, right.
We'd probably get a better response from him, actually, wouldn't we?
It's hard to keep up to date, isn't it? All right.
Yeah, but it's glad you're back anyway. All I'm right. sure the population supported you.
Right.
See you, boy.
Thanks for calling today. There's a question. If anybody within government communications can tell us, who is responsible, or is it departments that are responsible for keeping up to speed with any relevant UK legislation that may have an impact for us? Obviously, we heard last week about Ed Miliband's green tax on ferries that may affect us in the future. Nothing at the moment, because we're, by all definitions, we're an international destination. But the Channel Islands ferries and the Irish ferries and us at the moment, we're not in the firing line. It's just domestic ferries, except Scottish ferries. So which ferries are they talking about? Those are the Isle of Wight, and that's about it. It will be nice to know. Text, email, call and WhatsApp, whatever you want to do. Oh, I've had a message in, by the way. I want you to cast your mind back, if you can, to 1976. That is 50 years ago, some 50 years ago, through till 1981. Does anybody remember the compare at the Beach Hotel in Ramsey? The Beach Hotel. Do you remember the Beach Hotel by Blur Prom in Ramsey? The Beach Hotel in Ramsey. If you remember the Beach Hotel, and do you remember the compere? His name was Alan Marriott, A.J. Marriott. If you remember Alan Marriott, do get in touch with me, because I'm in touch with Alan, and he'd love to hear anybody who remembers the Isle of Man back in 1976 and in 1981. The Beach Hotel. And if you've got any photos of the Beach Hotel, that will be nice as well. That'd be good to hear it. Now, the union representing doctors on the Isle of Man says fewer, less than a quarter of medics at Manx Care would recommend Manx Care as a place to work. So that's less than 25%. A bit more than 2 out of every 10 people who work there would recommend Manx Care to a pal or a colleague. The findings come from the BMA, the British Medical Association. It's a union, their annual survey, which asks members about their working conditions and the standard of care provided by the health service. The results raise further questions about recruitment, retention and morale within the Isle of Man's healthcare system. Less than 25% of medics who work at Manx Care would recommend it. Do you know the sort of question? I'm looking for a new job. Where do you work? I'm at Manx Care. Would you recommend them? No.
The actual figure is that 60% said that Manx Care was not listening enough. And that is reflected when you have conversations with doctors around the hospital. And I've been talking to doctors while I've been here on the island. And it's very clear that whilst they're trying to do what they can for patients, they feel that the system that they're working in prevents them from doing everything they think should be being done for patients. That there are barriers to some of the best care being given. That the standard of care they know they should be able to deliver is something that sometimes, not always, but sometimes they're prevented from doing, just the resources aren't available to them. The staffing isn't there to be able to do everything that the patients need.
So how is Manx Care responding to the survey? Well, I asked Medical Director Dr. Chris Stockport for the healthcare provider's take.
We take it really seriously. You know, there are areas in the survey that we know we want to see better. In nearly every one of those areas, there's a great improvement compared to last year. In fact, of 27 or so of the 30 questions in there, the scores this year are better than last year. So lots of space for us to bring about further improvements, but also consistent signs that we're on the right journey.
What has Manx Care been doing to tackle the issue since the last survey? You mentioned the Senate. Is there other things as well?
Yeah, so we regularly meet with the BMA. I regularly meet with doctors across the organisation. I always ask, my colleagues always ask about, you know, how it feels. And we take the responses into consideration. So what you're seeing here over the course of the last year or so is a consistent listening and then putting into action. And I think that accounts for why we're making strong progress in each of those areas.
Right there, we heard two voices there. There was Chris Stockport from Manxcare, and also the BMA chair, the British Medical Association, the union chair, Tom Dolphin, talking about that. Well, bearing in mind that it seems that forever and a day we've had one of the or other of the unions involved with Manxcare who haven't been happy about something. They've either been on the brink of having industrial action, threatening industrial action, thinking about it, or just moaning where this is concerned. And remember, in the middle of all this, you and me, the customers, if you like, the patients, we used to be called patients. It would be nice to know, wouldn't it? Is it possible to get an update on progress at Erie Stain? My grandchildren have asked what's happening as they're looking forward to seeing it up and running at Erie Stain, says John Ramsey. Thank you, John Ramsey. And there are eight people in external relations department of the Isle of Man government, tells me Muriel. Regarding beef, doesn't Jersey and Guernsey have the same problem with representation being Crown dependencies too? I've just driven from Ramsey through Sulby and I'm shocked. The state of the road is shocking. If they want a TT this year, I suggest the DOI get it resurfaced and not the patches here and there. Also, if they allow massive heavy vehicles on it, be prepared to fix it. It used to be Andrew McKinley, who was a very supportive MP, says, thank you, David, for that information. And S says, I wrote to the health minister before Christmas asking what had happened to the lengthy questionnaire about making payment of care fees fairer. She said, the health minister said, this is Claire Christian, that 93% of respondents want to change, and she hoped to bring the debate this year to the current administration once various options have been looked into. I await it with interest, says S on 768. It's past time this current disgraceful system was abolished and replaced rather than being kicked into the long grass. The external director is Chris Brannigan. You may have seen Chris Brannigan as the guy who's been signing all the voting forms that go to your house. Have you noticed, by the way, when they send you a form now, they don't send a prepaid envelope. You've got to get in touch with them to get a prepaid envelope because they want to urge you to be digital. How do you feel about that? It's a bit of an effort, isn't it? It's only sticking an envelope in. It's not David Lammy, apparently. It's Jake Richards, the MP, who's responsible for us now. There's an issue in general with communication in and out of government on the Isle of Man, says Andrea. They can't blame the UK government for their inadequacies. Take accountability instead of trying to push the blame elsewhere. And Kev said, do we know who's bought the flats on Lord Street yet? Apparently, have they been sold? Is the sold sign up there? Well, we'll find out as soon as we do. Oh, talking of which, Karen said, was it Wendy McDowell's husband who was the compere at the Beach Hotel in Ramsey? In 1976, there was a guy called Alan Marriott, A.J. Marriott, who was the compere. Anyway, if anybody remembers Alan or you've got any photos of the Beach Hotel, that was the one. Didn't they have lights underneath the dance floor at the Beach Hotel? I'm sure they did. Anyway, if you've got any information or you remember or you've got any photos, perhaps, then please do get in touch. You can WhatsApp them to me or you can email studio@manxradio.com or out of hours. Get in touch with maninline@manxradio.com. The external relations team, as I mentioned, Chris Brannigan is the executive director of external relations. David Corlett is the head of external relations. Anne Shimin is the external relations manager of policy and legislation. Graya Caldwell is the external relations manager for engagement and international development. Emily Brightsome, external relations executive officer. David Neal, ditto. Phoebe Convery, ditto. And Jasmine Taylor. That's 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 7, 8 in the external relations team. Thank you for that. Text, email, call and WhatsApp. And Stephen's with us now. Hello, Stephen.
Good afternoon, Andy, and good afternoon, listeners. I'd like to talk about, and I'm sure it's a concern to an awful lot of people, it's two issues that are linked. There's probably more issues that surround these, but the first one I'll talk about is there was a public accounts committee hearing on the government's efficiency programme. And I read, the committee chair, Ewan Watson, warned of a dangerous imbalance, saying, we're going at a lightning pace on digitalisation, but we're going at a snail's pace with regards to supporting the digitally excluded. And they go on to say, Chief Minister must have gave evidence, and he says, we have a responsibility to try and ensure that we are educating and assisting and enabling those who have been digitally excluded. So there's that first part, which is this committee have identified it, but nothing ever seems to happen of what we're going to try to do to solve the problem. And then this week, we've got the post office, which is essentially it's an arm's length operation of government, which is has reduced the number of post offices where one can do post office business, such as paying bills. They will be needed for the payment exception service, where I believe there's quite a large number of people still receive that. So it's almost like, on the one hand, the Public Accounts Committee have identified the problem, and yet another arm of government, which is the post office, is going to make things much worse for those people that aren't online, can't do online, or don't want to do online.
The thing about this,
I just wonder.
Yeah, the thing about this, Stephen, is, as you say, there are people who are being left behind, and it, all this, I'll be honest with you, it doesn't sound very Manx, because it doesn't sound very friendly. It's almost like people are being pushed towards something and, you know, the devil take the hindmost. You know, if you can't make it, well, it doesn't really matter.
Well, absolutely, Andy. And I think one of the other aspects of this latest post office initiative is that you can't pay a bill that exceeds £650, including your VAT. Now, electricity bills can be really, really high, and I'm sure there's an awful lot of people and businesses that like the convenience of paying these at a post office, and they're now going to be excluded. It's almost like the post office is thinking about, how can we make things worse for the public, never mind better? Now, if you look at the payment exception service, where people are paid by a cheque to cash, if you don't cash your cheque for three times, that exceeds the 650. So it would appear that the post office can pay out more than this limit that they're placing on people that they can pay in. And I always thought that the Isle of Man government make our own law. So what is it? Is it anti-money laundering legislation? Let's find out. Let's hope that some MHKs take an interest in this matter. And then you go and look at the number of places around the post offices have designated. There's one for the Douglas area, and last time I ever looked, there was 30,000 people in the Douglas area, and you've got one for Peel, where you've probably got 7,000, 8,000 in the surrounding district. So the post offices that don't seem to be catering for the number of potential customers in the Douglas and Ogden area, and they've given the same number for the outlying districts. So it seems to be that, as we've said a minute ago, it's making things worse for people. I still hope that the new Treasury Minister will reintroduce my card for those that need it, because I think you remember me asking the Chief Minister on this programme, would he revisit the issue of banking hubs around the islands in areas where there isn't? Yeah. Well, now we're going to have areas where you can't do post office business of paying bills and receiving money, cashing your MyCard or your payment acceptance service. It all seems to be what's worse, and I wonder what on earth are our MHKs doing? We've got Anne Kohler who sat on that committee. You've got Jason Morehouse who sat in that committee, the Speaker. Now, what are they doing with solutions? We're 6 months away from an election, and to be honest, I wouldn't know who I want to support at the moment, because nothing seems to be happening for the ordinary person.
It just seems, well, I mean, I am sure that behind the scenes, these are all charitable people. Let's be charitable about this. They probably want to do the best, but the trouble is, either the message isn't getting through, or they don't quite understand. There are some people who don't want to, be digitally converted, can't. Some people don't have the eyesight to cope with a lot of this as well. So,
well,
go on.
And the other aspect, Andy and listeners, is mobility. It's the simple fact of getting to the post office within your community. Now, it used to be that we'd have community facilities within communities. Now it doesn't seem to have that factored in, and the devil take the hindmost. If you've got mobility problems, tough. If you don't know how to do that, tough. You're not being part of the plan. It's just a case of now people seem to say tough.
And that's the kind of the bit that I think isn't very Manx, because that isn't us. You know, we're a domesticated nation. We get on with each other. We talk to friends and relatives. And very rarely are people left behind, Stephen.
Well, they seem to be being let. We the people seem to be being left behind and virtually told you're not being a good citizen. I think I read something that Stu Peters had lambasted a person on social media for having not having the public spiritedness to go out and buy a phone which is internet enabled and to get with the program. I thought it was shocking, actually. But that seems to be the attitude. It's you that's causing the problem, not the system that's letting us down. And as you said, it's not Manx. It's a mark of a good system is how it looks after the people and those who are excluded. And at the moment, there's nobody pushing to say this is not right. And that's what I want to see some more of. What's right for the public?
Okay, all right. We appreciate it, Stephen. Thanks for being with us today. 27 minutes before one, Andrew Rosendell was the MP. He was elected as a Tory MP for Romford in Essex in 2001, defected to Reform UK on the 18th of last month. And he was somebody who kept his eye on business around the House of Commons for the Isle of Man. I don't know whether he still does it, but he was. I blame the current minister, says 648 again, for taking her eye off the ball and spending too much time and money on climate change rather than focusing on agriculture and food security. The climate change agenda, says 648, and those employed in managing it should be handled at arm's length and seek private funding if it's considered such a priority. Jersey and Guernsey have essentially the same situation as the Isle of Man. They're all crown dependencies with their own governments, legal systems and parliaments. None have formal representation in the UK Parliament at Westminster. That includes Jersey, Guernsey and the Isle of Man. They don't elect MPs and what have you. They don't have officially appointed lords in the House of Lords for that purpose. The relationship with the UK is through the Crown rather than through parliamentary representation, and the UK government's responsible for defence and international matters. Well, there is one slight difference between Jersey and Guernsey, the Channel Islands, and the UK, and us in the UK, in that obviously we charge VAT and we have a common purse arrangement. So we are slightly closer because of the VAT arrangement. I'm a support worker for Manx Care, and I wouldn't encourage anybody to go and work there. My colleagues feel the same way. That's an anonymous message, and we'll treat it as anonymous. But it will be interesting to know what the situation is. Oh, and I do apologise to Adrian, who contacted me a couple of weeks ago. We were talking about organ donations, and now we're an opt-out we're an opt-out jurisdiction rather than an opt-in, and Adrian was acting was asking, does this affect your will? So, but no, your will isn't checked for organ donation decisions. A will is usually read days or weeks later, so it's going to be far too late. So you can't put in your will, I don't want to donate my organs. You have to fill out the appropriate form. Do it online. Doctors look at the organ donor register first, and they'll also speak to the family. That's why it's important to record your decision officially and tell your family. A will won't be used to decide it. So if it matters to you, the register and your family are what count with the organ donation register, not what's written in your will.
The Man in Line. Daily interaction, debate and exchange of ideas. Broadcast on Manx Radio from midday till 1, Monday to Friday.
Discover your dream home in Andreas with Kell Developments Limited. Their quality new build 2, 3 and 4 bedroom properties offer countryside living with amazing views just 5 minutes from Ramsey. These spacious homes are built for modern energy efficient living with ground floor underfloor heating and air source heat pumps. Plus contemporary kitchens, beautiful bathrooms, landscaped exteriors and more. Reserve yours now. Kell Developments Limited, Oatlands Road, Andreas. Island living redefined.
Many people are struggling. You can help by volunteering or making a donation to Isle of Man Food Bank, whether it be food or essential items or financial support. Please call 646 999, brought to you by Descon Office Interiors.
You've been talking for weeks. They're funny and they're thoughtful and they say all the right things and...
Babe, I'm stuck abroad. I just need a little money to get home.
And that's the moment. The moment a romance turns into a crime. Scammers build trust, then strike, leaving victims heartbroken and out of pocket. If someone you've never met wants money, think. Protect yourself. Stop communicating with them immediately and report the incident. A message brought to you by Isle of Man Bankers Association, Financial Crime Partnership, the IOM Constabulary, and the Cybersecurity Centre for the Isle of Man. Visit csc.gov.im.
Corkhill Storage, Corkhill Storage. Call Corkhill Removals and Storage today. We'll store your goods day after day. Safe and secure around the clock. When it comes to storage, we do the lot. Click corkhillremovals.com.
Whatever your business, whatever its size, you can always rely on the island's leading fuel and oil supplier to keep you moving. Ellen Vannin Fuels, powering the island and powering industry. Call us on 844-000.
Have you got your Manx Radio Gold open and closed door sign on display? If you put the sign in the entrance of your business, you could win 3 months of free advertising on Manx Radio Gold in 2026. Need a door sign? Email sales@manxradio.com and we'll get one straight to you. And if your door sign is already up, send us a photo and we'll put your business into the prize draw. Manx Radio Gold is the perfect soundtrack for your workplace, with fewer interruptions and only the greatest hits on earth on your smart speaker and at gold.manxradio.com.
Manx Radio Gold.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
It's 22 minutes before one. Text, email, call and WhatsApp. John said, I had lots of good nights at the beach hotel. The dance floor was made of glass. It was called the Hawaiian Bar. There were lights underneath it. Great night out. We often had a lock-in most Saturdays. I shouldn't mention that. Till two. It was always brilliant. It was a husband and wife around the beach. Anyway, if anybody's got any photos, and is the beach, or what used to be the beach, is that where the Bulleur Promenade flats are? Is it there? Anyway, if you can get in touch, by all means do. The Isle of Man wasn't represented in the Windsor Framework, says Avril. Relating to Northern Ireland, in 2025, the Windsor Framework was implemented. Previously, if you wished to travel to Northern Ireland from England, your pet would require a pet passport. The same as travelling to Europe, even though Northern Ireland isn't in Europe. Under the Windsor Agreement, people can now travel between England and Northern Ireland with their pet without a pet passport. The Isle of Man is not included in this agreement. So anybody travelling with their pet from the island to Northern Ireland will still require a pet passport. I've raised the issue for many years with MHKs and with DEFA, but I've still not been made aware of any solution. And also, I have great sympathy with our farmers. This is just an example of the best interests of the Isle of Man not being represented. If anybody can bring us up to speed on pet passports and the situation regarding the Isle of Man going to Northern Ireland, then I would appreciate that. As you know, paying bills, says Dewan on 715, paying bills and licences at our post offices is a relatively new way of keeping them busy, but fewer and fewer people are using that method. Surely that means a reduction or perhaps a cessation of bill payments. There, it's simply inevitable, says Dewan. Well, we all know that we're supposed to go digital, and we will be going digital, and maybe in 20 years' time you won't be able to do anything else. But at the moment, there are still people who don't want to do it. And surely compelling people to do it is that the right way? To compel people just to say, well, if you can't do it, that's that. Who knows what's going to happen in the future? I agree with your previous caller, says H. I'm now wondering where I can pay my rates bill. The post office won't allow bills of more than £650, including tax. My rates bill's much higher than this. They haven't mentioned where these bills can be paid, and I don't mean online. I used to collect saving stamps to help towards the rates bill, but the post office stopped that last year. Now I'm having to try and save money aside on my own to cover the bill, says H. It's a different way of life nowadays, isn't it? Here's Julian now. Hi, Julian.
Hi, Andy. Welcome back.
Thanking you.
Good, good. Just looking at this tax on the ferry. Basically, they're putting on this UK emissions trading scheme, which is going to be exempted for Scottish ferries. And the exemption for the Scottish ferries is in relation to the critical role they play in the cost of living and the limited alternative transport involving essential goods, healthcare, education and employment, and potentially undermining the social and economic viability of these communities. The UK emissions trading scheme is the UK's main carbon pricing scheme, which puts a price on so-called carbon pollution. And that tax was launched in the UK in 2021, replacing the original European Union emissions trading scheme that we used to be part of. Well, we didn't, but the UK did. And it's going to be up for review in 2028 for Scotland. Northern Ireland will get a 50% deduction from their carbon surrender obligations. And also ships operated for government on commercial purposes like Coast Guard, Border Force, Lighthouse authorities will be exempt, as will fishing vessels. But those fishing vessels will be up for review in 2028 as well. But when you look at the reasoning for why Scotland is being exempted, that applies to us just as equally, I would have thought. In fact, we got further than some of those islands.
Well, you wonder what's going to happen, whether or not the Scots, it's Caledonian McBrain, really, isn't it, which is unofficially probably an arm of the Scottish Assembly, really, because they do all the CalMac purchases and what have you. You would think, I mean, it would be nice to know whether and if it is being waived for Scotland. Or is the Scottish Assembly, is the Scottish government paying some of that tax? Obviously, because of public opinion, because having to pay that amount of money, and some of those journeys are really short journeys to the islands of Scotland. But I would imagine, you see, Ed Miliband's got the bit between, who knows, he may even be the Prime Minister next week, you never know, do you? But he's got the bit between his teeth. It's amazing that this has never come up before, isn't it?
Well, it kind of has, but not with ferries. And I think the reason that we're paying so much, I mean, we're paying more than anyone. I don't even think the Scottish Islands or the islands are paying as much as 29.1p that we are. They're up in the 27s and the UK average is 26.8, I think, or something. But this ETS, this emissions trading scheme, is being applied to gas and electrical generator companies. And you, on top of that, you've got carbon price support. So you've got two hidden taxes that are, you know, like being applied. You've effectively got the carbon price tax is a stable additional tax on carbon from fossil fuel generation. And then you've got the ETS, when it's applied to electricity, it's like carbon allowances and all this kind of thing, increasing the operating costs for the gas generators. So basically, this ETS thing, it's basically, it's the tendrils growing now into ostensibly ferries and their so-called carbon pollution emissions, which I don't agree that carbon is a pollutant, but that's hey-o. So we're already paying for it. Can I be a conspiracy theorist?
Oh, by all means, go ahead.
Wouldn't it be a surprise if the price stays really high and then Carevi wind farms put in and then all of a sudden, mysteriously, this ultra-high price we're paying is lowered and then, oh, look, the price has come down since we put the wind farm in. But actually, it's being jacked up with carbon pricing and the price of gas now is as low as it was before 2018. I think it's 2018 was the last time the price was at this low level. So if it's not the price of gas, then why is it still so high? And, you know, it keeps getting jacked up. It was 28.5p not too long ago per unit. Now it's 29.1. Meanwhile, the gas price has been, you know, way down for a long, long time now, 2 years. So is this ETS, emissions trading scheme and the carbon price support, are they the ones that are quietly jacking up the price and then, you know, in the green new world, will suddenly it'll be this miraculous lowering somewhat in the price?
I don't know. Maybe it's you. I mean, that's Julian's conspiracy theory for today, by the way. So
it may be
everybody else may be a lot cleverer than I am, but surely generating electricity and what have you is quite a simple thing to do. You know, I understand that they buy on the forward market and they pay ahead for gas and this, that, and the other. But it's fairly simple. You just think that they swamp it all in acronyms and terms that, I mean, surely this is really simple. We surely should be knowing how much we're paying and, you know, what the power station's doing, how much we're selling, how much we're buying. Surely, as the people who actually own it, wouldn't it be nice to know?
Well, yeah, and the reason that I think this is somewhat to do with this emissions trading scheme applied to our electricity as much as it's going to be on ferries is we're always told that this is a global problem due to the war in Ukraine. So how is Iran paying 3p a unit? How is a lot of states in America paying 8p a unit? How is it a lot of Eastern Europe's paying 13-14p a unit? Yeah. So there's got to be something in the middle. If it's a global problem, I think actually somewhere like Afghanistan's paying like 1.5p a unit.
And not only that,
so it's obviously not that global.
A lot of the gas that goes to the UK comes in liquefied form from Qatar and the Gulf there. We don't take gas from Ukraine, surely.
No, I mean, the vast majority of our gas is coming down a pipe from Norway. Two of them, actually, Langeleld and the Vesterled pipelines, one in Scotland and one in northeastern England. So it's got nothing to do with Ukraine, actually, but we're told, oh, it's to do with world global pricing and all the rest of it. Well, how is it that if they're using gas power stations and things in all these different locations that are paying, you know, between 2p and 14p a unit, it's not that big of a global problem then, is it, Andy?
Well, we'll see. And do you think that Ed Miliband, I mean, this whole thing about the ferry tax and whatever, I mean, the government said it's not going to happen for a while yet. It could be 2028 before it happens to us. But, I mean, do you think that's going to happen, Julian?
Well, we'll have to see, won't we? But, I mean, if you take the parameters for Scotland's exemption, we are exactly the same. I mean, we're very, very reliant on, especially now that we don't even have hardly anything coming by air anymore, do we? I mean, we at least used to have things like Emerald Airlines used to be able to get stuff shipped over by air and things, but everything's on the ship now. So we are exactly the same as a lot of those Scottish places that are now exempted. So I think we would definitely be in the same league as them.
Okay. Appreciate it, Julian. Thanks for being with us today.
Thanks, Andy. Cheers.
Alan said, I'd like to thank the staff at A&E at Nobles. It's ED now, isn't it? A&E. It used to be Casualty. And the staff on Ward 2, they were all very kind to me. I was very scared with breathing problems and they were absolutely fantastic. Not everybody can afford the internet to do online, says 762. And regarding paying bills, yes, people are talking about paying anything above £650. It's not going to happen. It just seems that an inevitability, doesn't it, regarding the post office? So I'm going to use my organs to the max, or they'll be no good for anybody. Well, you're saying that, Desmond. You never know. There may be. It's not just organs, I'll have you know. I mean, there's all sorts of stuff that you can that donate. Corneas can be donated. I think also they're taking, what's the big bone? Is it the tibia or the big one? The tibia, that's it, isn't it? It's taken. They use that one for people who are having replacement hips and whatever. They grind the bone up. I know, sorry to say that when you're eating lunch, but the human body can absolutely service lots and lots of people. Regarding my card, post office services, what about the rights of those who don't want to touch technology? It feels like our eggs will be all being put in one basket full of holes, and our hens are sharing coops with polecats. Talk about mixing your metaphors. Our islanders deserve better, says CC. We're unwise to write off pen and ink when the power goes off, taking our funds in a blink and leaving us all with a pile of stink. Oh, I see. Funds in a blink with an idea. I heard on a CNN program, says Pat, that President Trump and the Arabs are trying to control the world market on oil. Once they have control and Russia out, the markets will they'll have massive price rises on oil supply. Well, the price of oil has always gone up and it's gone down. It's all to do with that. I mean, John D. Rockefeller was doing that 100 and more years ago. And I don't know whether you remember, if you remember, but back in the 1970s when everybody was worried about A, pollution, but B, the fact that oil would run out in 20 years. They were saying that with all seriousness. We've got oil for hundreds of years now, and we've got gas for hundreds of years. Whether or not we'll be able to get it, and that includes our gas, is a moot point.
My everyday used to feel fine. Now it feels elevated.
Better decisions, better outcomes.
Support when I need it, freedom when I don't.
With no monthly fee, dedicated relationship management and a world of global benefits, HSBC Premier is designed to elevate your everyday. HSBC, opening up a world of opportunity. See website for details. T's and C's apply. In the Isle of Man, HSBC Bank PLC is licensed by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority and is a participant in the Isle of Man Depositors Compensation Scheme, as set out in the Depositors Compensation Scheme Regulations 2010.
At Bond Fabrics, we're not just a fabric shop. As well as curtains and upholstery and dress and costume fabrics, we've knitting and crocheting wools, made-to-measure curtain and blind service, plus poles and tracks. Visit Strand Street, Douglas, call 611856 or see bondfabrics.com.
Most builders start with a hammer and saw. Manx Construction start with ideas and imagination. For new build, extension or home office, Manx Construction offer full service from planning to completion. Call Tony on 452 688.
Direct cremation is just that. An affordable and simple cremation without all the costs associated with a funeral service. Find out more by visiting directcremation.im. Or phone Direct Cremations on 478 422.
Getting to your ideal weight can be a journey full of ups and downs, dead ends and diversions. But at Kingsley Mooty, we can keep your weight loss journey moving in the right direction with dedicated support throughout from our in-house clinical team and treatments tailored to your specific needs. Start your online consultation today at kingsleymooty.com or call 625040 to book an appointment with our trusted team. Rated 5 stars by over 100 patients. Kingsley Mooty. Your health, our commitment.
Are you a small charity here on the Isle of Man? Are you looking for volunteers, hoping to raise awareness and chasing those crucial pounds and pennies to support your work? Well, Manx Radio can help. You could be our next 1-3 Charity of the Week. With daily on-air coverage, podcast and social media promotion, we can help support you and those you help. Just email the numbers 123@manxradio.com and listen out for the feature each weekday between 1 and 3pm. The Charity of the Week, brought to you by Kell Properties.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Phil's on now. Hi, Phil.
Hi, Andy. I just wanted to say something about the pet passport issue that you spoke about earlier. If you live in the UK, England, Scotland, Wales, it takes 5 minutes online to request a pet transport document to Northern Ireland, a 5 minutes. All you have to do is name of your pet, confirm it's been chipped, and your name and address. Now, on the Isle of Man, you can travel freely with your animals to and from Britain, from England, Wales, Scotland. But if you want to go to Northern Ireland on the Isle of Man, you have to have a complete new health check done on your animal, plus rabies injections, and the cost varies between £300 and £500 per pet.
How come we're different then?
Well, we don't need to be different. That's what I'm ringing about. I've contacted DEFRA before on this. I've contacted the government vet here. Even the vets here are quite embarrassed about the whole situation that they're charging this amount of money, because it's all down to the computer software system that they use in Westminster. All they need to do is add the Isle of Man postcodes to that system, and we'd be able to. There shouldn't be anything stopping us getting this 5 minutes quick pass permit that you take with you on the ferry. That's the ridiculous thing. For example, when you take part in a government consultation, a UK government consultation, you're allowed to put in your name and your Isle of Man postcode, and you answer the consultation or the referendum, and then they come back just to check that you live at that address, right, and you're on their system. They haven't done it with the pet passport. It is costing residents on the Isle of Man ridiculous amounts of money. That's £300 to £500 per pet. You're going from a rabies-free country to another rabies-free country, and we're having to have rabies injections for dogs and animals.
So what's your message, Phil? What's your message to the government?
The message is the government just needs to contact Westminster, to the relevant departments, DEFRA and DEFRA there, and get it sorted just to save us this ridiculous amount of money we've been paying for the last couple of years.
Okay.
It's just putting us on the system. There is nothing else stopping us. There's nothing wrong with our animals travelling to Northern Ireland, the same as England, Scotland, Wales.
All right. Appreciate it, Phil. Thanks for clearing that up. Well, thank you, Phil. Good to hear from you. Well, if so many people are working for Manx Care that wouldn't recommend it, the obvious question is, why are they working there, says Paul in Castletown. Well, perhaps it's because the caring staff don't just walk away. You can be unhappy with things and still turn up every day for work, can't you? Anyway, that's it. Thanks for all your messages. Didn't get to all the messages. Anything on the Shore Hotel? That's it. Thanks to Chris on the phones today. Have a great day. WINT.